Hello, and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Hello.
We are continuing going through Journey to the West. We're on chapter 65. We're both a bit tired today. It's been
Yeah.
a long weekend.
It's been cool. It's been fun. This is what happens when you are no longer young.
Come on.
My hips, Squeeva.
You're 30. I'm 32. Come
I
on.
have the spine of an 83-year-old. And the serotonin level of a 64-year-old solitary housing unit prisoner.
Okay.
That bit was an exaggeration.
We both had a lot of fun and we're paying the price. So this chapter opens with a poem, and I don't normally read the poems, and I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but I will read the first three lines, which is, "This chapter's karmic import is to persuade man to do good and to shun all evil works." So we're gonna learn how to reject Satan and all his false promises, or the Buddhist equivalent of that.
Don't be a dick.
So are you ready to be persuaded, MJ?
I'm certain that my wicked ways could be mended. Absolutely.
Okay. So the pilgrims are on the road again. They're climbing a mountain, and getting into arguments with each other, usual kind of stuff. And they come across a huge, beautiful monastery, bejeweled, magnificent, glorious, all of these lovely adjectives. But
All shiny and shit.
yeah, but Wukong sees, as well as all the holiness, an aura of violence around it. And he says he's a bit suspicious of it, even though it does kind of resemble the Thunderclap Monastery where Buddha resides. And he has been there a few times at this point, so he should know. And Tripitaka asks him if it's the real one, but he says, no, this is definitely not. I've been there a bunch of times. This is definitely not the real one.
Listen, I'm like a guest of Buddha a lot. And I know he would never choose his wallpaper. My close personal friend, Buddha.
Sorry, I'm distracted by cat hair covering everything in my house.
We have a dog visiting.
Oh, how is the dog?
The dog is very sweet and wants to cuddle.
Oh, good.
His name is Alfie. He is a Labrador Lurcher cross. And he's not a smart boy, but he's very sweet.
Asok was mad at me because I was left her alone for about a day. I'm back to her now. I think she's forgiven me. She's at the desk with me at the moment, cleaning herself.
You played with her heart, Quiva. You can't just toy with her emotions like that. Just leave and come back and expect it all to be okay.
Anyway, as the pilgrims approach this monastery, Tripitaka sees a sign saying "The Thunderclap Monastery" written across the gate in huge letters, and he falls off his horse in shock. Hasn't done that in a while. And he gives out to Wukong for lying, but Wukong points out, he's like, no, you missed a word. It says the small Thunderclap Monastery.
I'm sorry, the Thunderclap Monastery experience.
It's just the little one, the little mini Thunderclap Monastery.
The cover band. Oh, okay.
So Tripitaka still wants to go inside. Wukong warns against it. Tripitaka ignores him. Wukong will surely be wrong about his warnings this time. I'm sure it's fine. So Tripitaka changes into his fancy treasure cassock and he heads inside. And inside they see 500 Arhats, 3,000 Guardians of the Fate, the four Great Diamond Kings, Mendicant Nuns, the word I forgot how to look up to pronounce, again, Upasakas, and the countless monks and workers all manning the monastery. And everyone except Wukong immediately bows down in reverence.
So they're not very small, the Underclap Monastery.
I mean, I guess small compared to Buddha's one.
Yeah.
Small compared to where the literal Buddha resides.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people. Sorry, I'm Irish. I don't trust so many nuns in one place.
Yeah, that's fair. They're not Catholic nuns, if that helps.
I know. So you want to keep an eye where they congregate. So that's not a good joke. I was at an Easter themed cabaret last night, and there's that's my current excuse for everything, from not doing the dishes to neglecting emotional responsibilities and relationships. Going back for a period of 10 years, I was at an Easter cabaret last night. That's all you guys need to know.
Fill in the blanks, I guess. Wukong is the only one who doesn't bow, and a voice booms out, "You, Sun Wukong, how dare you not how dare you not bow down before Buddha, fucking Buddha, anyway.
Fucking Buddha. Buddha, motherfuckers."
But Wukong recognizes this is a fake Buddha, and so attacks him.
Yeah. He doesn't have much of a sense of self-preservation, but he's very sensitive to a vibe shift.
I mean, you say that, but he has managed to preserve himself up until now. In spite of everything.
At significant cost. Impulse control is hard anyway.
But when Wukong tries to attack, a pair of golden cymbals, as in the like musical instrument, fall out of the air and trap him between them. Baji and Wujin grab their weapons, but they're overpowered by the massive crowd of monks, and the two of them and Tripitaka are tied up.
On the sense of preservation, that's one monkey versus a literal army, which includes hundreds of nuns.
Yes.
It's a literal platoon. There's a clerical platoon.
Yeah, but he can also be hundreds of monkeys if he wants.
He can, I suppose. Do we ever get a limit on how many monkeys he can be?
I guess it's the number of hairs on him.
Huh.
So how many hairs is there on a 4-foot-tall monkey?
I'm not Googling that. Jesus Christ.
Answers on a postcard. Just write down Quiva, Ireland, and send it.
Yeah. They'll know.
Mm-hmm.
You're one with the cat.
So the fake Buddha drops their disguise, or the fake Buddha and the monks drop their disguises, and haul the three tied up prisoners away. They leave Wukong inside the symbols, just going to let him rot there. And Wukong tries to smash his way out of the symbols, but his rod will put a dent in them from the inside. So he tries then growing thousands of feet tall, but the symbols just seem to grow to accommodate him. And he tries to shrink tiny to find a gap to crawl through, but the symbols also shrink to match him, and he can't find the tiniest crack between the two of them. He tries to grow the pole to push the symbols apart, and then he turns two of his hair into a drill and tries to drill a hole in the symbols, but it does absolutely nothing. After trying everything he can think of, he asks for help. He calls out to all of the invisible backup deities that Tripitaka has guarding him. So the Guardian of the Five Quarters, the Six Gods of Light, the Six Gods of Darkness, and the 18 Guardians of the Monasteries all show up. He just kind of rants to them a little bit about Tripitaka not listening to him, and then he asks them for help to get him out.
Sometimes you just need to vent.
Yeah, yeah. They try to pry open the symbols from the outside, but it has no effect at all. And so the Guardian of the Five Quarters tells the Six Gods of Light to protect Tripitaka, the Six Gods of Darkness to protect the symbols, and he is going to go straight to the Jade Emperor for backup. And so the
Taking
Jade...
it all the way to the top.
Yep. The Jade Emperor sends the 28 constellations to help. Would you like to hear the names of the 28 constellations?
How about you give me your top five favorites?
Oh, well, I haven't ranked them. I'll have to...
Give me the name of the 28 constellations.
Okay. There is Horn the Wood Dragon, Gullet the Gold Dragon, Woman the Earth Bat.
Woman the Earth Bat?
Yes.
That's a prog metal band.
So, what it made me just think of was Rouge the Bat from Sonic the Hedgehog, but that's where my mind would go with any character called something the animal. Chamber the Sun Hare, Heart the Moon Fox, Tail the Fire Tiger, Winnower the Water Leopard, Dipper the Wood Unicorn, Ox the Gold Bull, Base the Earth Badger, Barons the Sun Rat, Roof the Moon Swallow, House the Fire Hog, Wall the Water Porcupine, Straddler the Wood Wolf, Harvester the Gold Hound, Stomach the Earth Hog, Mane the Sun Rooster, Nesh the Moon Crow, Beak the Fire Monkey, Triaster the Water Ape, Well the Wood Hound, Ghost the Golden Ram, Willow the Earth Antelope, Star the Sun Horse, Spread the Moon Deer, Wing the Fire Serpent, and Axle Tree the Water Earthworm.
Beak the Fire Monkey?
Yep.
B-E-A-K?
B-E-A-K.
Does he just have a particularly large nose?
Wukong is also described as having a beak a lot. I think it's just kind of the shape of, you know, a monkey's mouth kind of protrudes a bit from the face.
Okay.
I'm not sure what top five names are, but I'm quite fond of Axle Tree, the Water Earthworm.
Like Woman the what? The
Earth? Woman the Earth Bat.
Earth Bash, that's
Earth. Earth is in the planet or the ground, I guess, more.
The ground. I think that in particular is just wonderful.
An Earth Bat can also be a woman.
Monkey beak.
Are you looking that up?
Yes. I don't know why, it's just stuck in my head. There's images of beaked monkeys. Yeah, oh my god, there's an absolutely cursed one. And
Do we have episode art?
Some monkeys have beaks. And that's okay.
You gotta send me this, or is it just we just gonna?
This can't be real. It's just I don't know.
Are you doing okay?
Some monkeys have beaks, and that's not something I knew, and it's not an upsetting fact in any way. They're just weird looking.
I'm sure they're nice
monkeys.
Are you sure they're real monkeys, or
are you looking
in Photoshop?
This is why I don't know, man. I don't have the spoons for real research. I just got a Google, and it's useless now. And people keep saying to use the robot, the evil AI one, instead. I don't want to feed the robot. I don't want to feed the robot. The other alternative is look up thing, then Reddit. I don't want to feed the monster either. So it's... Where'd you get the information? It's... Yeah. Sorry, I'm spiraling a little bit in a totally unrelated direction, but...
Yeah, you doing okay?
Some monkeys... may or may not have beaks, and that's just a place where we'll need to sit in uncertainty for a little bit, like adults. I'm sorry, I'm very tired. The important thing is don't feed the robot. Never feed the robot.
Sorry. should we continue with the book?
Yeah, we probably should. We probably should.
Okay. When the 28 constellations arrive, Wukong asked them to use their weapons to break the symbols open, but they're worried about making a lot of noise and alerting the demon, so instead they just try to use them to pry the symbols apart, but they can't get them loose from each other at all. The narrator compares the two symbols to a wonton with, like, the edges fused together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I want wontons.
So Gullet, the gold dragon, says he's going to try and ram the tip of his horn at the seam of the symbols and for Wukong to feel for it inside poking through. So Gullet shrinks himself until he's tiny and his horn is sharpest possible needle. And he rams his head as hard as he can into where the symbols meet. And then he grows to try and force them apart. And he does manage to penetrate into the symbols slightly, but when he grows, rather than forcing them apart, the metal seems to just shape around his horn as it grows, like it's alive and there's no gap at all. But the horn is poking through slightly, so Wukong gets another idea. He turns the rod into a drill, and he drills the tiny hole into Gullet's horn and then shrinks down, jumps inside, and tells Gullet to pull out. And this works. He's able to get out this way.
Ah.
And as soon as he is, Wukong takes his frustration out on the symbols and smashes them from the outside with his rod, smashing it to pieces and waking up everyone in the entire fucking temple.
Yeah, I was just about to say that's gonna attract some attention.
This is specifically the thing that the guardian deities said they weren't going to do earlier, because this would happen.
Self-preservation. It's not.
Yeah. So the Demon King and all his minions rush in to investigate, while Wukong and the constellations flee to the clouds. But the Monster King sees Wukong, he picks up his wolf teeth club and he challenges Wukong to a fight, and he introduces himself as Old Buddha of Yellow Brows, or Great King Yellow Brows, or Holy Father Yellow Brows. Take your pick. I will just call him Yellow Brows. So he wants to kill the pilgrims and then go see Tathagata Buddha himself and to attain scripture, the Tripitaka scriptures for China, and bring them back to China himself and get that glory.
Oh, cool. It's a new motivation. Usually they just want to eat the guy.
I think they are. I think they do also intend to eat them as well.
Fair. Well, I mean, you don't waste protein.
So they fight for a while until the constellations and Tripitaka's guardian deities decide to join the fight on Wukong's side, and they surround Yellow Brows, at which point Yellow Brows unties a white cloth wrap from his waist and he throws it into the air. And this spreads out and it wraps up Wukong and all the others and traps them, and he picks it up, slings it over his shoulder, and heads back inside. He has all his prisoners tied up, and he holds big banquet to celebrate. And after a while, Wukong can hear Tripitaka somewhere else in the monastery weeping and crying out that he's sorry for not listening to Wukong. And it does warm Wukong's heart that even though Tripitaka didn't fucking listen to him, he is thinking about Wukong now.
Aww.
So Wukong shrinks free of his ropes and he goes to find his master, which he apparently just could have done at any point. Bit like Roger Rabbit, I guess. he had to wait till it was a bit funny. Or at least until it was slightly embarrassing for Tripitaka, maybe.
Yeah, until the mood was exactly right. Very sensitive to vibes.
Yeah. I was just gonna continue the story if you want to say anything else.
No, I don't understand why everyone kidnaps the pilgrims and then goes, yeah, we'll have some dinner first before we move forward.
Yeah, just, they really should just slit their throats.
We'll do our murdering on a full stomach. You know, we're not savages.
So he unties everyone and he grabs the horse and he leads them all outside, but he realizes that he has forgotten the luggage and he heads back for it. Gullet accusing him of valuing things more than people. We have Tripitaka, we should just leave. To which Wukong responds, the person's important, of course, but... Yeah. But...
From first.
But the cassock and the bowl are even more important.
Oh, okay.
In our wrap are the Imperial Traveler script, the brocaded cassock, the Am's bowl of purple gold, all of them superior Buddhist treasures. How could we not want them? Unshakable logic. So Wukong sneaks back in by shapeshifting into a divine mouse, that is a bat, and flies inside. And he manages to find the luggage from the glow of the cassock, which was not properly put away and just kind of glowing everywhere. And he grabs it, but doesn't bother to check if it's properly tied up. And as he tries to carry it away, it slips off the pole and hits the ground with a thud, waking Yellow Brows again.
He does not do good on stealth rolls.
I mean, he can sneak in really well if he's like transformed, but then he just like gets completely careless.
Maybe that's it. If you're so used to being able to get in as a fly, you forget how heavy and cumbersome a monkey body is.
So yeah, Yellowbrows quickly realizes that all of the prisoners have escaped and sets guards on all the doors. Wukong abandons the luggage and flies out a window. And the Monster King goes out to look for them. And all of the constellations, the guardian deities, and the pilgrims abandon Tripitaka to go fight Yellowbrow's forces again. The battle kind of lasts all day until Yellowbrow whistles to signal his subjects to retreat, and he throws his wrap in the air again. And Wukong sees this happening, and he shouts, "Look out!" and flies off. But none of the rest cop on fast enough to what's happening, and they all just get captured again. And the pilgrims are hung from the rafters, and all the other deities are thrown into the cellar, and the door is sealed up. And Wukong doesn't want to go back to the Jade Emperor with his tail between his legs again. So instead, he decides to seek help from someone who lives on the Wudang Mountain. And we'll find out who that is in Chapter 66.
Don't go back for the fancy treasures. Just get the fuck out.
MJ, like, but have you considered... The people are important, but... The treasures are more important.
I don't know, I guess one could argue if these are very powerful, you don't want to leave them in the wrong hands.
That is the origin story of, like, at least half of the monsters, in fairness.
Yeah. Are you feeling morally improved, Quiva?
I am persuaded to... Actually, no, I'm not a man, so I'm not persuaded to do good, actually.
Okay.
So I'm not going to shun all the evil works.
You're going to continue to do your evil deeds.
Yeah. Gonna continue my evil works, my podcasts, my golf mods. Such sinister plots as this.
Yep. Snuff. It's a thing of depravity.
I downloaded a physics textbook for the purposes of referencing for working on it, actually, the other day. Golf and Wind: The Physics of Playing Golf in Wind by Shantanu Malik and Sandeep Saha.
I'm generally, like, I'm always interested in people's info dumping because I feel like if you've got enough passion for it, it's that important to you. It's important and you can make a case for it. And, you know, just the fact that it's that important to someone makes it immediately fascinating. But you were halfway through that title and I feel like my spirit left my body to escape the pain of
boredom. It's a very dry and literal tome, I think. But I mostly downloaded this because... I was looking to see had anyone ever documented. I was googling like wind mechanics golf game or something like that to try and see if anyone had ever documented in detail how to model wind in like a golf game. And I came across this book and I thought, you know what? It would be funnier if I used this as the basis purely because then I could like cite an actual piece of scientific literature in my silly Sonic the Hedgehog golf mod.
Anyway, golf is inherently depraved.
Yeah, Snolf is the only moral way to play golf.
Yeah, abolish golf.
Golf courses are just like horrific environmental vandalism on a massive scale. You should only play golf via the medium of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep.
That is
the official position, yeah, of Journey to the Monkey King podcast.
Journey to the Monkey King.
Journey of the Monkey. Who knows what podcast they're on at any given time? What is time? What are prepositions are hard? Words are also hard. Golf is bad. We've got less than a minute in the Zoom.
Yeah, we're about to be kicked off our Zoom call. So, bye everyone.
Goodbye.
See you in chapter 66.
Abolish golf.
Abolish golf.